This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Gotham by Gaslight, February 5th, in theaters.
Oh, is it a one-night only?
Wait, are we starting? Welcome, Legionnaires, to the comfy couch. Your host, Martin, and
me. Listen, I don't host anything, okay?
You are hosting.
No, the host is the person that does the introduction of the show. That's you. Yes. You're the host of this podcast. I'm just along for the ride.
You got me. That is sound logic. I can't dispute it.
I know. Anyways, what are we talking about tonight? I don't know.
I thought we were going to have comic talk.
I love comic talk. I have talked about so many comics.
Let me bring you back in.
Wait, what?
You are a bucket Bronco right now.
As opposed to when?
Gotham by Gaslight, you said, is going to be in the theater. Is this one night only?
Yeah,
theater experience?
Well, I was trying to figure that out. Because this is some, like, showing in L.A.
I don't like that.
And I don't know if I can go because, like, if you're under 17, you need to be accompanied by a parent. So, I don't know. I don't know if my dad will take me. Nelson might not want to go to Gotham by Gaslight.
I can't blame Nelson. I brought my dad to the Killing Joke, and
yeah,
he was mildly amused, but not nearly as much as the DC movies.
Yes. So I don't know, man. I was trying to find if they were doing the one night in theaters thing.
That's what I want.
But the thing is, like, this is weird because the movie comes out. You can buy it next week. Wait, this week. Wait, next week. What day is today?
17th.
Okay, so it comes out next Tuesday.
That's smart. They're not competing against Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, does that come out Wednesday?
It came out today.
Wait, no. That came out last week.
I thought it was this week.
No.
Because it's a holiday.
No. I saw it to buy on Amazon and Google Play. It's like $15.
Oh, okay. My bad.
But you couldn't rent it. I need to figure out what's the new, like, release window.
I don't
know. Dude, do you remember back in the day, like when we were young, you'd go to the movies, the movie was in theaters for like 6 months, and then it went away, and then it'd be like a year before the VHS came out.
Yeah.
Right? And then like the 90s came around and the movie would be out in theaters for like 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then it'd go out, and then 6 months later you have the DVD.
Right.
And then streaming came along, the movie be in theaters for like 6 weeks, and then it's out, and then 3 months later you get the DVD, and then you'd have to wait 3 more months to get it streaming anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And back then it was iTunes, because nobody else had streaming.
Yeah.
And then now everything, it's like day of release, DVD. Well, I think they're doing digital first now, right? And then DVD's like the next day or the next week.
Correct.
For a lot of things.
Or if it's a small, tiny release in theaters, sometimes they even do digital same day.
Oh, so yeah, simultaneous release. Mm-hmm. Which actually, that's a pretty good deal because most of them are like $6.99 or $7.99.
Yeah, that's fun.
So it's not,
but it's way cheaper.
Yes. Yeah, it's way cheaper than going to the theater, and it's only like $2 more than renting it when normal things come out on DVD.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, what I'm trying to find out is like what the new release window is from release to streaming. Cause I saw Blade Runner last week on Amazon and I was like, oh shit, I need to buy it. Or I want to rent it so I can watch it. And, it was purchase only. And I was like, well, I don't want to, which really, like now that I'm talking about this, I should have just fucking bought it. Cause I'm going to watch it like 500 times.
Can I just throw out, I think that's really smart.
What?
To do that. To have it like you can buy the digital copy, or you can rent it a week down the road, maybe two, who knows? Like,
yeah,
they don't give you the like rental date. No, when you go to like rent it, it's the only thing you see is to buy, and then in your head, you're like, I don't know when that is available to rent, it could be a month. I want to watch it now, I'll just buy it. It's only $15 or $19.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, surely there's a window.
Yeah, I would think it's a couple days, if not a week.
Well, maybe I should check again and see when this damn thing. You know what? I'm just going to buy Blade
Runner. But you know
Runner.
What I'm saying? Like, they're right. You're the perfect example. Like, you could easily wait, but in your head, you're like, I'm going to watch that more than once, so let me justify just buying the damn thing.
Yeah, but something like that's a little different, dude. Like, I've seen the original Blade Runner. I think I own, like, 3 or 4 different versions of it.
Yes, we all do.
I've seen it, like, at least 2 dozen times. I think, all right, so I'm pretty sure, and I have to think about this. I'm just going to go off the top of my head. But I'm pretty sure the number of times I've seen movies goes like this. So number one. Wait, yes.
Are you talking all over? Well, you didn't clarify. Let me ask you questions.
Yes.
The list you are providing right now to the listener.
Yes.
This is all-time movie views.
Oh, okay. Blade Runner's on rental right now. It doesn't matter because I'm going to buy it.
2049.
Yeah, 2049.
Okay. Just, I'm trying to get clarity.
Oh, but I bet they're going to do a director's cut. Damn it.
Of course they will in like 8 months.
But that movie was already like 3 hours long.
So you rent it now, but sadly you can only watch it how many times in 24 hours?
Well, I mean, it's 3 hours, so I can watch it 8 times.
Well, yeah, I mean,
if I don't realistically. Sleep. Realistically, like maybe twice.
Right. And how expensive is it just to buy?
Well, I mean, the SD is $14.99, HD is probably like $17 or $18.
God, see, they make it so easy just to be like, if I'm going to rent it and watch it twice, that's almost the price if I just bought, I'm just going to buy it.
Yeah.
Because it's never like the rental's 99 cents. Then you're like, do I really want to?
Well, actually,
that's a lot more of a jump.
We check Google Play every so often because they'll very often, like at least once a month, they'll do 99 cent rentals.
Yes, they do.
So it's worth checking out if you have like an Android phone.
So does the PlayStation Store.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, which is really great.
Yep. God, fuck it. All right, so do I buy this or do I wait for the... Now, you know what? I'm going to rent it.
Before you do it, let's talk this through. What's the price of an HD rental?
Well, I mean, if the SD's $4.99, then it's probably $5.99.
God, you are a third of the way there to just buy the darn thing.
Yeah, but I want the extended director's cut.
We're talking through this.
All right, let's talk through this.
The extended director's cut won't be probably out for at least 8 months.
Oh, at least.
It'll probably be next Christmas.
Sure.
Like, it'll be right around that area, fall.
Yes.
So in that time period, you'll probably at least watch or want to watch it at least 2 to 3 times.
You think so?
Maybe. I'm just walking you through it. Now, there are things like with iTunes, when I go to buy movies through iTunes, that's like, you can rent it for this price, or you can buy the HD version with extras. And it's all the extras from the DVD Blu-ray, which is really nice because you know I like all the extras. And I didn't know if your service did that, Amazon or Google Play or whatever.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because that might be nice. I'm just thinking, you know, that there's probably some good making of or, you know, something in there.
Yeah, but so the thing is, I don't normally care to watch that. Okay. Like when I buy director's cuts or extended cuts or whatever, I get them for the extra scenes that fit into the movie, not for the additional stuff that relates to the movie.
Gotcha.
So okay, I rarely ever watch like director's commentaries or like behind the scenes interviews or blooper reels or anything like that.
Yeah, we are completely the opposite.
Yeah. And then in terms of like rewatching it, I don't think so, dude. Matter of fact, my wife and I have this conversation all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because she loves watching the same stuff over and over again because she knows that she really loves it.
So yeah, like, so does my wife.
If she can't find anything to watch, like she'll restart all right. So for example, we talked about this many times, Sons of Anarchy and Breaking Bad. She watches like 3 times a year.
Smart.
And I'm like, I can't do that. Like, I still haven't rewatched Breaking Bad, and it's been off the air for what, like 3 or 4 years now?
Mm-hmm.
I still can't watch it because it's fresh in my mind. And like, I try when she tried to do it this last time, I tried to sit down and watch it with her, and I was like, yeah, I can't do this. I remember all of this.
I'm just the opposite of you. My reasoning for not rewatching is there's so many other things in my queue that that 20 hours of rewatching a season of Breaking Bad could go towards 7 films.
Yes.
Well, that's I want to watch new stuff, not rewatch old stuff. Right. But that's just me. That's just me. That's why rental is perfect for me. Or going to the like grabbing it, queuing up for it in the library. It might take 2 months for me to get it, but who cares? I have all this other stuff I could be watching. And then when I finally get it, it's like, ooh, now I'm excited because it's unexpected.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But I'm with you. I'm okay. So if you rent it now, you're going to rent it in HD, $6.
Sure.
And then you're going to buy it digitally when it comes out, the pimped out version.
The pimped out version.
That makes sense. But let me ask you, why rent it right now when tonight is almost cashed and you only have 24 hours?
Well, no. All right. Misconception. I don't know how it works on iTunes, but everywhere else, when you hit the rent button, you have 30 days to start.
Oh, okay. And then once you hit the play button, you have 24 hours correct. To watch it. However,
correct. Gotcha. Once you hit play, the countdown timer starts, and you can rewatch as many times as you want in the 24-hour period.
Yeah, all I'm saying is you should wait until a weekend or you have a day off where if you want to watch it twice, you got the time.
I know, but it's so good. Did you go see it?
No, I didn't. I'm queued up for it at the library. I have the Blu-ray. Right,
Fair enough. So yeah, all right. So that's what I'll do. I'm going to rent it, and then that way it'll still be kind of, I mean, it's still kind of fresh in my mind. The movie came out, what, like 3 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe less than that. All right, that's fine. It's fine. I'm gonna rent it, and I'll wait for news of the extended cut. It's like Justice League. I know there's gonna be an extended cut, so I'm just gonna wait on that to buy it.
Yep.
And it doesn't much matter because I saw it 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on it. I have that movie memorized.
I like it. I like it a lot.
But
Go
ahead. Please, it's your show.
My wife, going back to the way your wife absorbs media, my wife's very similar. In the fall, she was dying to watch Love Actually because it's a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, no streaming service had it. So then she goes and buys it on iTunes just so she can rewatch it. And she watched that thing in 2 months. She watched it probably 3 times. and it wasn't really pricey, so like no big deal. She got her money's worth out of it. And then of course this January, what's on Netflix? Love Actually.
Of course it is.
And she's like, "What the heck?" And I'm like, "Just you wait. Come November, it ain't gonna be on Netflix."
You know what's on there is the Nolan trilogy.
Yes, as well as the Lethal Weapon quadrilogy.
Quadrilogy, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I saw that and I was like, "Wait, Batman Begins, motherfucker." But it doesn't matter because I own it digitally and on freaking DVD. great news. I finally convinced my wife to get rid of all the goddamn DVDs in this house.
No.
They're all boxed up in the garage right now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And it's so nice.
That's impressive. I'm shocked you were able to do that with.
Well, here's the thing. Our DVD player has not worked in like over a year.
Oh, God. Then I see why.
So if she wanted to watch a DVD, it was like on a laptop.
Ew.
And all the time that she's had one, I think she's watched one DVD in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Ray, which is a great movie.
It is a good movie.
But it's not one of those rewatchable things. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least not for me. Yep. It might be for her, but it's not for me.
Sure.
So, let me tell you about rewatchable movies. I'm going to give you a list of movies. And the order I'm going to give them to you in is from by the number of times that I've seen these movies.
Okay, so we're going back to your original list of films that you have watched the most of.
Correct. All right, you ready?
I like it. Yeah, I like
this. Okay. I'm pretty sure off the top of my head this list is pretty accurate.
Cool.
All right. Most watched of all time.
Can I at least ask you one question before you jump in?
Yes.
On this list, how many John Hughes films are there on this list?
Is Ferris Bueller a John Hughes movie?
Yes, it is.
All right, so only one.
Oh, I was joking, but that's great.
I was obsessed with Ferris Bueller in high school.
Yeah, as we all were.
Yeah. All right, so number one, let's see if you can guess. Let's play a guessing game, Nick. We haven't done a game in a while. All right, you know me. You know the kind of things that I like.
Yep.
Okay.
Sure.
I'm going to give you a hint. This is not a sci-fi movie, nor is it a horror movie.
Darn it. I had my first guess in my head was both sci-fi horror.
Okay. What was your guess? And I'll tell you if it's on my list.
How many are on your list?
I mean, I'll probably just give you like five.
Okay. I was going to guess John Carpenter's The Thing.
That's not even on my top like 30.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that would easily be on my top 10.
The original, right? Not the remake.
No, John Carpenter's.
Yeah, okay, the original. I think I've only seen that like twice.
By the way, the original was like in 1939, so technically it's the remake.
Well, that's not John Carpenter's a thing, though.
It's not the dumb remake of 10 years ago.
Okay, yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't awful, but it was not good. All right.
Well, the thing, John Carpenter's The Thing would have been on my top 10 for sure.
Really?
Yep.
John Carpenter's The Thing is not on my top 10.
Okay.
It's not even in my top 10 favorite sci-fi horror films of all time.
Wow, that's such a shame. You're so wrong.
Matter of fact, it might be on my top 10 worst.
Get out of here. We're not even gonna unwrap this onion right
now. All right, that's fine. We're not doing that right now. That's fine.
Fake news.
Put it in the Google Doc and we can put that next time.
Yeah, we'll unpack that a little bit later. Okay.
I had a girlfriend like that once.
Who? What? She liked unpacking onions?
I don't know what you're talking about. All right, quit bringing this off topic.
Well, hey, if you want to share a story, feel free. Is it story time?
No, it's not story time. I know you want more stripper stories. Okay, that's not happening.
Nelson, turn off this podcast.
Nelson, turn it off.
Zombieland.
Well, I mean, that would be a horror movie, no?
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Romancing the Stone with Danny DeVito.
Oh, God. I might need to rewatch that, actually. It's been a very long time since I've seen that.
Oh, it doesn't hold up.
Oh, I know. All right, okay. One more guess.
No, I like guessing.
Oh, okay.
You just tell me if I'm getting close to any of them on the top five.
This needs to be like seven questions.
But let me guess.
All right.
Because these were all jokes, except for The Thing.
Oh, awesome. So now's a real thing. Okay.
Well, Romancing the Stone was a goof as well as John Hughes, but for you to say Ferris Bueller, that's awesome. Because I would have included Breakfast Club or 16 Candles on that list.
Not on my list.
I watch those constantly, but I'm a little older than you.
Yeah.
But let me give some staples that I would think would be on that list, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you just tell me if they're on your top five. Okay. Die Hard.
Surprisingly, not in my top five.
Wow.
It's pretty close. It's pretty close. I think it might be top 10, but it's not top five.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I don't think that's even in my top 25.
Wow. Okay. Empire Strikes Back.
Now, let me preface by saying this doesn't mean necessarily favorite movies.
Yeah, I know. But I'm picking and choosing movies that I would rewatch constantly.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. You said which one?
Empire.
No, actually.
Okay.
So I've seen the Star Wars movies. Mm-hmm. Probably like the whole set of them, not including episodes 7 and 8. So seven, I watched once. Rogue One, I watched twice. Episode 8, I haven't seen yet. So the first six, the first two trilogies, I've only seen those, maybe like two or three times back to back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. Although Empire is the best one.
Hmm. Well, that's why I guessed it.
Yeah.
Batman versus Superman.
Ooh, no. No, I don't think that's even in top 25.
Okay. Is any of the Nolan Batman on? Because there's enough time that maybe one of those would slip in there.
So The Dark Knight is in my top five.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Good to know.
But it might surprise you where.
No.
All right.
I think I'm done with my guessing.
You're done with your guessing. All right. So the movie that I've seen the most times is Fight Club.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what inspired that? What drew you to Fight Club?
All right, this is really odd. So, I saw Fight Club on DVD, like when it was first released on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I think a friend of mine had it. and there was something, I don't know what it was about that movie, but it was not available on DVD for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there was some like rights issues or whatever it was, but for like, I would say years maybe, it was nearly impossible for me to find Fight Club.
Hmm.
Okay. Every time I would go into a music store, like, you know, Tower Records or what other ones were at the time? Virgin, a couple other ones. Every time I would go to one of these things, I would look for a Fight Club DVD and could never find one. And this was pre-internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finally, one day, I went into one of these places, whatever. What's the one at the mall? F something. F-Y-M?
F-Y-I?
No, it's not F-Y. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They're still around. But one day I went into one of those, and they had a copy in there.
Mm.
But I didn't have my wallet with me. And I was like, mother effer. And I went home and got my parents, and they're like, all right, well, we're not going to go now, but we'll go tomorrow, and you can get it. And I went the next day, and that one effing copy was already gone.
Duh.
So it took me like 6 more months to get a copy of it. So when I finally got it, I watched it all the time.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
All the time. And what
did it live up to the hype?
Yeah, for me it did. I think just like there was a period of my life where I was just into weird stuff, and the ideology that I had at the time kind of fit in with some of the ideology of what the movie tries to convey.
Yeah, the nihilistic view.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just think it spoke to me on a personal level. And as a result of that, I watched it many a time.
Well, I went to go see that with my friend Dave in mm-hmm. a theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the theater, it was in like during the work week, it was probably a third full. And I didn't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
I just know like critically it was getting like rave reviews from people that I certainly didn't expect rave reviews from.
Sure.
And I remember coming out of that film, because it was scored by the Dust Brothers,
mm-hmm.
who also produced, the best Beastie Boy album, Paul's Boutique.
Indeed.
And I was floored at sonically how jaw-dropping that made me feel. And I'm older than you, and it stirred weird emotions in me from the first viewing that I don't think any film ever did. Like, it didn't make me want to be violent.
No.
But it made me want to not be so buttoned up, if that makes a sense. It
makes total sense.
Yeah, and it was a very... It blew my mind, but I always loved Fincher.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just gotten better and better as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But now, after seeing this, now can I guess one that might be on your list?
Sure.
Matrix.
It's not on my top 5, but it is top 10.
Yeah, I'm surprised you wouldn't watch that over and over and over again.
Oh, dude, I saw The Matrix in theaters, I think, 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, same here.
And I've when it first came out on DVD, I probably watched it like 3 or 4 times a year, like the first couple years that it was out.
You know what did that in? Great soundtrack, too.
The rest of the movies?
Yeah. Like, that movie hit, like, it was darn near like, oh, my God, that's a brilliant film. It's mm-hmm. like Fifth Element. Like, oh, my God, I've never seen anything like that in my eyeballs. Then when you get the other sequels come in, oh, my God, did it just sort of take the luster off that first film?
Yeah, yeah. It's like
we're now I'm never in the movie ever watching.
Well, it's what we call the Wolverine effect, right? So Wolverine was fucking awesome until you found out Wolverine's origin, and then you're like, eh, that's not that awesome. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, you should have just left the shit alone. Just fucking leave it alone.
Yeah, or throw it out as, like, this is an Elseworlds concept instead of trying to bring Wolverine origins in as, like, no, this is really his origin.
Yeah.
No, you don't really need to do
this. Yeah, no one cares, dude. The reason people like your character is because they don't know who the fuck this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing with The Matrix.
You know what's great with Fight Club? Mm. No sequel.
It's true.
Yeah.
Same
with Fifth Element. Like, Fifth Element, that's a great film.
I want to say there's a Fight Club sequel, but it's a novel.
Well, I know they did the comic book adaptation.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Is that what it is? Yeah, they did a comic book, right? Fight Club 2?
Yeah, David Mack did the covers for
them. That's right.
And, I mean, they got Chuck Palahniuk, or however you pronounce the...
yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, the author's name. So, I mean, he wrote it, so if anyone's going to do a sequel, it's great that he did.
Sure.
But I just... You know what? That was a good moment in time. I don't need anything else. Like, I'm good.
Well, the thing is, like, all right. So look, I'm not a professional writer, but the thing is, like, after the way that movie ends, where are you going to take that movie, right? If you make another one,
yeah, are you going to like, oh, this is the sequel? We're going to go with the Meatloaf character from the Fight Club, and he's going to wait till you see his story.
You're talking about Bob.
Yes, Bob.
Man boobs.
But yeah, that's a great slice of life. Like, sometimes you don't need a sequel. Yep. Like, it tastes great all by itself.
Yep. Let me tell you, and the reason I stopped watching Fight Club, I think I watched it last year. My wife and I watched it together.
How did it hold up? Because I haven't seen it in about 5 years.
It was still very enjoyable. It wasn't as good as I remember.
Well, sure. But did it elicit any... like cool emotion from you, or could you sort of see like the cracks of time coming in?
No, I think in terms of like the film and story itself, I think it was fine. Okay. But I think the reason we watched it is there was some documentary that we watched, and they were talking about Fight Club in it. And I was like, huh, okay. I was like, I haven't watched Fight Club in a couple of years. Let me just go and rewatch this. I don't remember what the documentary was, so don't even ask.
I would have loved to see that documentary. Yeah, you know I love documentaries.
I know. I should have just texted you immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was fine. Like, it was still good. It was still enjoyable. Obviously, I remember everything that happens. The reason that I quit watching it is because I watched it so many times in such a close period of time that I was pretty much just quoting the entire movie as I was watching it. And I was like, yep, time to not watch this anymore. But I think overall holds up.
You know what still works as a scene? When he's clipping back and forth and realizing the personality, and sonically it sounds like one of those old air conditioning vents. That's you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You remember the scene? Like, it's like, it's just like, wow, that so makes sense.
You're talking about right. Well, yeah, before he goes to the building.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fincher at the top of his game.
Yep, good stuff. Well, yeah. You know, I've always been a little bit of a socialist, Nick. I'm not going to lie.
Ditto.
So, you know.
I like it. I respect it.
Some of that stuff spoke to me. All right, so that's number one.
Okay.
I guarantee you will not guess number two. Okay, guaranteed you won't guess it.
Great.
I will say this. There was no shame in my game. I will fully admit to this being the movie that I watched the second most number of times.
Ooh.
And I will tell you, it's animated.
Wow. Not Akira.
I don't think Akira is even in my top 10.
Okay. Well, let me go. Don't just blow the wad.
Sure.
At least give me a couple guesses.
All right.
Sorry. Apologies to the listener, but I have to play a game.
Sure.
Is it Toy Story?
It is not. But you're close, kind of.
Well, if it's one of the sequels, you have to tell me.
No, it's not.
I'm not going to guess Toy Story 2. Up?
Nope. Up? God, that's bad.
Hey, I'm just trying to... I'm gauging your age, dude.
Here, I was born in 81. I was born in 81.
Okay. Damn. Okay, then this movie was way too early for you. Darn it. Okay, then I'm not going to guess that.
No? All right.
Well, here. I was gonna guess Little Mermaid.
Oh my God, that's it.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
So popular. Yeah.
Yep.
But so, I figured you couldn't see that when it came out in theaters.
Oh yeah, I saw it in theaters.
Did you?
Yeah, I saw it three times in theaters.
Wow. Okay. Way to go.
Yeah, my mom's like, "Can we quit going to see this movie?" And I was like, "No, it's fucking awesome. Let's go." I think for me it was Sebastian. To be honest with you,
There should be no shame in that game, buddy.
Well, I mean, let's be real, dude. It's a Disney princess movie. You know what I'm saying?
Who cares?
I know.
Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid.
I do love Beauty and the Beast.
They are so close to being perfect films. Yep. So, yeah, no shame there. Say it loud, say it proud.
Yep. But I've seen it a bunch, and it's great because, you know, now we got girls. And Reagan, not so much, but Zoe still likes that stuff. So she's like, hey, let's watch Little Mermaid. I'd be like, hell yeah, let's watch Little Mermaid.
And then you roll your eyes in. Secretly, you're like, yes, let's watch it. Yeah. One more time.
I'm like, do we have to? Let me go find the DVD.
All right, fine, but I'm only going to make 2 bags of popcorn.
Get the box of tissues.
I was going to say, Dad, why are you bringing tissues over? Well, for the popcorn, you know.
My hands will get greasy.
I think I got salt in my eye. I don't know why.
Daddy, why are you rubbing your face? Oh, popcorn. There's popcorn butter in my face. Gotta get it off.
Yeah. It's such a good film.
It is. It's really good. And if you're listening to this and you're laughing right now, good for you. I entertained you. Now go watch Little Mermaid, you fuck.
Yeah, don't be so jaded.
Don't be so jaded. All right, let's go to the next
one. As well
one.
As great music.
Oh, hell yeah. Some of the best songs ever.
Yeah,
that was Disney movies.
That was Disney's golden age.
I agree.
Yeah, they could do really no wrong.
Because what else came out of that time? So Beauty and the Beast was around that time. It was Aladdin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aladdin was really good, too. The music was not as good, but the movie itself is good. What else came out of that time?
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah, that wasn't as good.
Tarzan.
Tarzan was not as good, either. I think once they get out of, like, the... I don't know, more mythological stuff. Like, once they get outside the fairy tale realm, I don't think the Disney movies are as good.
Oh, they also did DuckTales, The Rescuers.
DuckTales! Woo!
Yep.
They gotta remake
but
that.
But you know what's really frightening? I'm Wikipedia-ing it, so I'm not pulling this from my head. But Who Framed Roger Rabbit came out a year before Little Mermaid. Isn't that crazy?
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. June 22nd, 88, and Little Mermaid was November 17th, 89.
Wow.
So crazy.
Dude, Who Framed Roger Rabbit was a fucking awesome movie.
Oh my God, so far ahead of its time.
And you know, it's still really good.
I was just about to say, I challenge anyone to watch that and not think that it holds up pretty darn well.
I gotta see if that's streaming, man. I haven't seen that in a very long time.
Yeah, for a 30-year-old film, come on. It's pretty good. But then you go on a tear. It's Little Mermaid, DuckTales the movie, The Rescuers Down Under, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Nightmare Before Christmas, Lion King. It's just like, wow, did they go on a tear.
Lion King, that's right. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
so nutty.
I used to sketch Jessica Rabbit in my notebook in elementary school for like years after I watched that.
She's my first girlfriend.
Yep. Yep. Dude, I bet that holds up still though. Cuz there's some like adult shit in there, you know what I'm saying?
I guarantee you it holds up.
Mm. All right. My number 3 most watched does not hold up.
Ooh.
And it is also aimed at a younger demographic. But
is it Tron?
It is not animated.
Is it Tron?
No, it's not Tron.
Okay. You said it's animated?
It is not animated.
Oh, not animated. Oh, holy cow.
And I will say it is in a fantasy setting.
Labyrinth?
Ooh, that's close. That's my wife's favorite movie, actually.
Oh, good choice.
Right, babes. Labyrinth. Gareth, what's his name? The Goblet King? That's her boyfriend. That's what she says all the time.
Oh.
And I'm like, that's cool. I'll take, what's her name? Oh, God. Jennifer what?
Garner?
Connolly. That's it.
Connolly. There you go. Yeah.
Yum, yum.
Dark Crystal?
No. But you're actually really close with that one.
Princess Bride?
Nope. Now you're farther away.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. All right, I'm giving up.
All right, The Never-Ending Story.
Oh my God, Martin.
Yes.
That does not hold up.
No, it does not at all. It is, dude, I try to watch it. I think last year, maybe 2 years ago, I tried to watch it with the girls, and it was really bad. Like, really bad.
Yeah, sometimes special effects can easily date something.
Yeah, yeah, I think that might be what it is, right? Because some of the other ones are more practical effects. Mm-hmm. So, like, they're still cheesy, but because they're not, like, digital effects, they age a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's like if you watch, like, Flash Gordon. Like, I love Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
But the effects in that are not good. But I remember...
But the soundtrack,
oh, my God.
The soundtrack still holds up. So.
Dude, I was watching that song on YouTube a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's still fucking awesome.
Yep.
And Freddie Mercury's got giant teeth. But anyways.
Who cares?
Dude, yeah, that soundtrack's freaking amazing.
He would be on the Mount Rushmore of singers.
Of course. I want to see that movie whenever it comes out.
The biopic?
Yeah, the biopic.
Yeah, same here.
Yep, it's the guy from Mr. Robot.
Oh, that's a good choice. All right, I'm curious then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's playing Freddie Mercury.
Good, good, good.
All right, let's go to number four.
All right, give me a hint.
Give you a hint. This is a sci-fi movie.
Mm.
It is very much a movie of its time, and I will tell you, it is still the shit.
Alien?
Oh, you're so close.
Oh. Hmm.
Alien is top 10. Matter of fact, it's number 6.
Boo. Not Aliens. Alien.
No, the original.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah.
Terminator?
Nope, you're close. Terminator is probably like 8 or 9, I would say. I've seen that many times. Funny story about Terminator.
Hmm.
So we saw it in theaters when it first came out. And this was at the height of bootleg movies.
Oh.
And so my dad knew a guy who had movies. And so he bought a VHS copy of Terminator.
Nelson.
From this guy. I mean, not my dad. We'll call him Felsen Noretti. All right. So Felsen bought a bootleg copy of Terminator. Oh, this is Terminator 2. Not the first one. Terminator 2.
Sure.
Which is the superior film. Matter of fact, the best film of the franchise. But he bought a VHS copy of it. And we watched it. Because we loved that movie when we saw it. And we're like, can't wait to see it at home. And we're watching and watching and watching it. And we get to the end. You know the scene, like, after they fight the T-1000 and they're at the foundry or whatever. And the Terminator is, like, all messed up. And they lower him down onto the melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're watching this movie, okay? All this fucking action, this big fight scene just happened. He's about to get lowered down into the little melting pot thing. Fucking movie cuts off. Because I guess maybe something happened when they were bootlegging it and they had quit filming it. So we're just like sitting there for like what seemed like an eternity waiting for the rest of the movie because we knew it was there. Well, actually, my dad knew it was there. My dad and I knew it was there. My mom hadn't seen the movie. And so it took years before we actually purchased a real copy of this film.
For your mom to finally see
the end. For her to finally see the end of the movie.
So was this bootleg that Felsen purchased, was this shot from the angle of a seat? Or was it shot from the floor or from the projection booth?
I don't know, dude. It was really bootleg, good.
I've seen bootlegs from all three angles where all of a sudden you see somebody's like foot or leg go sort of like into the screen just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like their pants leg.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know, but it was a really good copy.
Damn.
It was really good.
That's funny.
It might have even been like a copy of an actual VHS, dude. I don't know. Huh. Like, it was that... Like, the quality was that good.
Wow.
Anyways, what were we talking about? Oh, we're number four. So, okay, you're in the general area. You're close. You're very close.
Hmm.
Matter of fact, with Terminator, you're even closer.
Ooh. Avatar?
Oh, now you're way far away, dude.
I don't know.
Avatar is way too long to watch multiple times.
I would completely agree.
Although, I have seen the Lord of the Rings trilogy like 4 or 5 times.
What about Battle Beyond the Stars?
Oh, now you're getting even farther. You were so close, Nick. You were so close.
Who cares how close I am? You mean the Richard Thomas classic? Is that up in your top five?
Nope.
With George Papard and Sybil Danning?
Nope.
Come on, it's Sybil Danning, my
friend. Nope. Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
One of the greatest Arnold Schwarzenegger movies.
Oh.
Ever.
Oh, boy. Predator?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Dude, it's still so fucking good.
It aged really well.
Really, really well.
And even the hokey lines are still very cheesy, but they were cheesy back in the day. But they still really hold up, and all the effects really hold up pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like, so, all right, so when the Predator's in his, like, camouflage thing or whatever in the jungle, like, it starts looking a little cheesy, but it's actually still a really good effect.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more of a camera thing than a special effect thing.
Yeah, great call.
Yeah, yeah. God, that movie's so good. All right, so that's number four. Number five, we may have already mentioned.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, God, no. You know, I watched that. I for some reason, I bought a copy of it.
Oh, God.
And there was... Oh, you know what? I know what it was. My ex-wife saw it in theaters with a friend of hers, and she really liked it.
That was her 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, that's why she's my ex-wife.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I heard there's some sex scenes in this at Top.
But, yeah, I watched it. I was like, huh, that was a thing.
Yeah, it's... Ugh.
Yeah.
Overindulgent.
Yeah, very much so. I think it's based on a book, too, which I don't ever plan on reading.
Yeah.
So, we have mentioned this.
All right, it hit me.
It is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Mm.
It is The Dark Knight.
There you go.
Yep.
Nice.
I love it. I love it. And I think I love it more for the Joker. I think this is probably the case for everybody that's seen that movie.
Yeah, I can see that.
The Joker is the best thing about that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people remember, and even non-comic, even some comic book people, it'll be like they won't remember the title of that Batman film. It'll be like, you know, the one with the Joker.
Yes.
But like you hear the Dark Knight or Dark Knight Rises or what, like interchangeable.
Yep.
But everybody's like, you know, the Joker.
The Joker one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
That's a really good film.
Yep.
I would assume, we never talked about this. Did you go see the third Nolan film in IMAX?
No.
So you could get the 13 minutes of Tokyo or whatever it was that was exclusively shot in IMAX?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was a thing for you.
I'm not an IMAX guy.
Well, I wanted to see what it looked like. I mean, I saw it original, and then on second viewing, I'm like, I want to see what the hell this IMAX thing is.
Hmm.
And when that screen actually like whoop and it goes full IMAX, holy Christ. It's like, that's really cool. I don't know how Nolan did, like, I don't see how anyone like shot it. All in IMAX, like, oh my God, the size of that camera? How could you ever shoot an entire film? So like 13 minutes, that made sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very dramatic to have that bit in IMAX. It was really neat.
Mm.
So just curious.
No, yeah, I generally don't watch movies in IMAX. For me, I don't feel like it warrants the additional ticket price.
Cost.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, I think IMAX is better than 3D by far.
Oh my God, for sure.
Yeah, I never go. I've only seen one movie. What movie did I see?
Avatar.
No. Thor. Was it the first one? No. Dark World.
No. Yeah, I was going to say it had to be the second.
Yeah, it was Dark World. I saw Dark World in 3D, and it hurt my eyes.
Yeah, we went to go see, we saw Avatar because I was raving about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we saw two other 3D films. One was a Coraline, maybe? It was animated.
Oh, really?
Yeah, stop animation. Because my wife was like, that has to be so, like, colorful and fun, like a, you know, a Viewmaster reel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, for sure. Yeah, let's go see that. And as soon as you put on those tinted glasses, I don't, like, after 20 minutes, my eyeball smashes it anyway.
Hmm.
So it just, I either smash it down in my head or I walk out and I have just the most intense migraine.
Mm-hmm.
Like my brain just does not work with, with 3D.
Yeah, it's just kind of gimmicky, you know what I'm saying? Like, most of what you see is like something's getting thrown at you, it pops out the screen, you're like, all right, cool. Like, it's fine the first time you see a movie do that, but by like, you know, the third one, it's like, all right, guys, think of something new, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little old, bros. Little bit old. But,
What? I liked your list.
What's the movie that you've seen the most?
Oof. Probably His Girl Friday.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because I'm always in the mood for that. Interesting. It's light, it's bright. There is only one scene that isn't quick-paced and full of comedy, like quick comedy.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I can watch that any time of the day, any day of the week, and it will instantly draw me in to watch the entire film. It's one of those films, like, there's very few that, like, I will sit there even if it's halfway done, and it will attract me enough to watch it all the way through. Mm-hmm. And it's probably where my, like, watching those type of films brings me back to watching, discovering movies like Hitchcock and a lot of, like, I guess they would be screwball comedies, but they weren't screwball. They were really smart comedies.
Right.
And discovering that with my mom. Mm. Because my dad would be into action films and stuff like that. My mom was more into Hitchcock and like Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn and stuff like she was into more escapism, I guess.
Sure.
And His Girl Friday, for me, it reminds me of her. It reminds me of sitting in the room when she's sitting like at the table with like my aunts, and they would be laughing and joking. And like, I remember thinking to myself, like, I like to hear that. I like hearing laughter. I like seeing people having fun.
Hmm.
And then that equated to watching like comedies with my mom. Like, right. I like telling her stuff and having her laugh. Like, that's still that, like, call and response is still, like, still sparks me when I can get her to laugh.
Hmm.
And I'm telling you, His Girl Friday, I don't know if it's streaming anywhere. I don't know how much it would cost to rent it. But if you want to go into, it's probably one of the fastest comedies I've ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much, that's why it shocks me that comedies don't get recognized with like Academy Awards. Cause there's so much to it and so much happening in the scene and it's so electric.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just tell when two people are playing off each other and situations are like chaos is happening around them. But you are completely like the two people that are going back and forth with a love-hate relationship and things are happening and there's a countdown happening and there's people in the background that need their attention and all you're doing is watching like Rosalind Russell and Cary Grant go back and forth and they're talking to each other but also talking about things that are happening outside their little universe but they're talking on like the A story, the B story, and the C story.
Right.
And there's just every time, honest to God, every time it's like you discover more about it.
Hmm.
And it's, I don't think people do that now. Like I can watch like Three's Company and yes, there back in the day, there were stuff that was being said or like innuendos that were being said. And there, sure, maybe the writers are tipping their hat to that type of comedy, but even though I would say that was being done very well by them back in the day,
mm-hmm.
it pales in comparison when you watch the original.
Mm.
And I mean, trust me, I can watch like Costello or Marx Brothers that were right around the same time period, but there's a lot of draggy scenes there.
Right.
But His Girl Friday is fast. Like you get right into it and then it's just like boom. And like Rosalind Russell, like for her to be such a strong female character and toe to toe with like the, you know, the star of the day, it's just fantastic to watch. Just, yeah, it's that would be it for me.
Hmm. Very interesting choice, buddy.
Yeah, that's,
I was not expecting that.
Well, sorry, buddy.
I like it.
Yeah, but I would say I have the same feelings when, like, I remember watching The Road Warrior in the theater, and I have the same feeling, like, I remember who I was with, and that was my dad. And I remember winning, like, calling up a radio show, winning tickets to Time Bandits, and I remember going with my dad and my brother, because we had free tickets. But I didn't know who Terry Gilliam was. I didn't know who Monty Python was. But we all went, and it was a shocking film for somebody who didn't know what Time Bandits were back in the day.
Right.
Yeah, so there's always, like, for me, it's all equating, like, things back to, you know, memories, back to like family memories.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, can I ask you a question before we sign off?
Of course.
Where do you stand? Because I was thinking about this a week ago. Where do you stand on, and we were discussing it previously about Netflix. Like they just, now you can stream the Lethal Weapon, four Lethal Weapon films.
Right.
Is it hard when an actor or director does something that, whether it's on your moral compass or not, does something so reprehensible, can you go back and watch that actor's art form that he put out? Can you go back and watch it and like, I want to put whatever that person did into a box and I can still go back and watch XYZ.
Oh, buddy.
And not have it color you going back and watch. Like, when I saw Lethal Weapon, I'm like, God, that was such a good film. Oh, it's Mel Gibson.
That's like,
Or like Roman Polanski. Oh, and then it's like, oh, but it's Roman Polanski. Yeah. Or, oh, it's Woody Allen. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether they were brought up in a court of law or whatever, I'm just talking public opinion, public perception. Is it hard to go back and be like, I used to love that film. Ooh, like I used to watch Annie Hall and Manhattan so much. And that was easy to go back to and watch. I'm not driven to watch that at all. And it's been decades since I've watched a Woody Allen thing.
Dude, that's almost like a topic for an entire episode, to be honest with you. I thought about that a lot over the last couple of months, because it's almost like every fucking day for a while, like not so much lately, but for a while it's like every day here's a new guy with like, hey, he raped me, or like what is it that Trump says? He grabbed me by the pussy, whatever it was. You know what I'm saying? Like every day somebody.
But that was just his character.
Who are you talking about, Trump?
But remember when he said, like, oh, no, that was my character.
Oh, God.
And it's like, no, you were in a bus talking and you thought your microphone was, but.
Yeah. You were hanging out with the bros.
Right. How do you, like, where do you stand? Like, can you compartmentalize it?
Here's the way that I look at it. So I thought about this a lot. And I've heard, like, other podcasts that I listen to bring this topic up. And it seems like everyone's got a different opinion on it. Here's what I'm going to say. If it's something that's already out, I don't see a reason why that should affect your enjoyment of it, right? Like, if you enjoyed it, you enjoyed it. And the fact that the dude is a rapist or a child molester.
Accused.
Whatever. Fine. Accused. Accused, yes. Or proven.
Right.
I don't see that should necessarily affect your enjoyment of said TV show, movie, comic book. I mean, it happens to comic book people too. We've heard stories lately too. I don't think it should affect those things because it's already like a thing in the past, right? Like you enjoy this thing your entire life, let's say. Okay. So the fact that something like this comes out now doesn't make any difference, because chances are this person was whatever, a rapist for decades. You see what I'm saying? So like when you watch this the first time, they were already this fucking asshole dude. You just didn't know about it.
Yep.
Right? So there's nothing you can do about that. What are you going to do, like, not watch it? It's a fucking 20-year-old movie. What difference does that make?
But does it color your approach to it?
I don't think it should color it at all. The reason is, if it's, like, a director or producer or whatever, they're behind the scenes, okay? If it's an actor, actress, or whatever, they're not playing that. They're not themselves on this thing, right? Like, they play a character. And maybe it's just the way that I was raised. And so I have certain beliefs about art. And I don't think that you should judge it on anything more than what it is that you see or read. Okay. So whoever the actor is doesn't fucking matter. The actress doesn't fucking matter. Okay. Like, yeah, you might watch something because whatever, like, let's just say Nicolas Cage because he sucks. You might watch movies because Nicolas Cage is in it. Okay. But like, ultimately, it doesn't really matter that Nicolas Cage is in it. I mean, for me, at least. And then this is not true for a lot of people. So, like, if that's the case for you, then I get that. But for me, I don't care who's in it. It's like when I read comics, I don't give a shit who's writing the book, okay, or who's drawing the book. I just want the book to be well written, and I want the art to be beautiful, okay? So whoever that person is doesn't matter. But, like, if Venditti comes out with a book, I'm going to go read it because I love Venditti, right? Or, like, Donny Cates comes out with a book. I'm going to go out and read it because I love what Donny Cates does. But
Or Tony Harris does a new book.
All right, so, well, there's an example. But the thing is, like, Tony Harris was doing a book, and his art was fucking horrible in it. You see what I'm saying? So, like, it doesn't matter who's doing it as long as it's the best thing that you could be seeing or watching or reading or whatever. So, like, if this movie that you have, like, whatever, some child molester was on it, all right, like, yes, the dude is a fucking piece of shit, okay? But, like, is the thing good? Yes. Okay, so judge it on the thing, all right? Or if it's a comic book, like, is the story good? Yes. Is the art good? Yes. Okay, well, then the fucking comic book is good, okay? I'm sorry that a piece of shit worked on it, but to me, it shouldn't detract from the work itself. And
but you're also not promoting, but you're also putting money into that piece of crap's pocket as well.
Well, and that depends though, right? So like if it's a movie, I guess with a comic it'd be the same, or a book. But maybe with printed media to a lesser extent. Cause like if I go out, just give me a movie with like, what's a Roman Polanski movie?
Rosemary's Baby.
All right, fine. That's a terrible movie. All right, fine. Rosemary's Baby. Like my wife likes Rosemary's Baby. If I go out and buy Rosemary's Baby on DVD, like Roman Polanski might make like whatever, a quarter off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, are you telling me that his 25-cent residual he's getting from me makes any difference to his life?
I think it's it's more support if it is the written or a comic book.
Well, no.
I think the margins are a lot thinner.
Yes.
When it comes to comics and books.
So I think the difference is more of
if you're a piece of shit and the public descends on you and like, F you, I'm not going to buy, I'm not supporting your crap because you're a piece of crap.
Yeah.
Guess what? A comic book or a book, you can shun them enough that person will be pretty much, they'll have a scarlet A on their chest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they might not get work for quite a bit, or they have to switch gears if they're an artist and all of a sudden they're going to be doing like movie posters or like, you know, stills,
mm-hmm.
that type of thing.
Yep.
But could they be blackballed from a certain company for being a piece of shit editor or a piece of shit artist or writer?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I could see that happening quite a bit. We're talking, I mean, Rosemary's Baby's a horrible example because that's a 25-year-old movie or a 35-year-old movie.
Right. So I think the difference should be whether it's something new or old then.
My point is, if you look at Woody Allen, how he was the darling of critics and then all that shit hit the fan, which doesn't seem like, I mean, there was a lot of smoke there. So
wait, you're talking about the stuff when he married his fucking daughter?
Yes, as well as other crazy stuff.
All right, let's be real though. Like, do you not think that he fucking knew? Like, all right, everyone's gonna fucking hate me because I'm married to my fucking daughter.
No, my point is, public opinion came down, rightfully or unrightfully, came down, and I mean, he pretty much went into the tank for over a decade.
Oh yeah,
and just now, I think in the last like 5 years, he's slowly starting to be accepted by the same critics that found him as a darling.
Yeah, but he's still a fucking creeper.
Yeah, for sure. That's why some of his stuff's on Amazon, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Well, you don't think he wants to be doing a movie? Give me a break.
Well, I mean, that's a little bit different, though. I think that argument maybe would have worked 10 years ago. I don't know if that necessarily works anymore, because I think a lot of people actually prefer their stuff on, like, Netflix and Amazon over, like, a major theater or whatever. But I see what you're saying.
I just can't put it into a box, which is really frustrating for me because, trust me, there's like, all right, a good example. And I didn't see this movie, but when the trailer this fall came out for Daddy's Home 2,
mm-hmm.
and trust me, I realized that movie looked like garbage. But when Mel Gibson was revealed as Mark Wahlberg's dad, and the few scenes that he was in saying comedic lines, I was like, I hate that I'm laughing at this, but damn it, Mel Gibson, you're still damn good. Like, oh, but you're a piece of shit.
Yeah. All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fine. He's a piece of shit, but does that make any of his movies any worse?
No, but in my head, I also am like, I just like I want to enjoy it, but then like people being raked through the mud, whether they deserved it or not, like that does color my desire to actually want to see the product.
Okay.
And that's on me. I realize that. That's on me. I wish I could get over that.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, it's just
All right, but here's the thing. There has to be like some kind of time limit, right? So like Mel Gibson, for example, he's done a gazillion fucking movies, all right? And he's done some really fucking amazing movies.
Yeah.
Right? All right, so like Lethal Weapon, sure. But like Braveheart, fucking fantastic. I don't know if you ever saw Apocalypto, but it was really good. Hacksaw Ridge, really fucking good. And here's the thing.
He does a lot of great films.
He does great films. So yeah, he says some very shitty things about some people that he shouldn't have fucking said. But the thing is, like, how long are you going to hold it against him? Like, yeah.
I agree.
The dude's a piece of shit. All right, that's fine. What does it have to do with his movies? Like, his movies are really fucking good.
This is a Nick issue.
I see that. But, all right, so Mel Gibson's a racist, all right, and he hates women. I don't see that in his movies. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
So if he were putting his own personal agenda into these movies, then, okay, I could totally see it. Like, yeah, I'm not going to watch these movies because I don't agree with this. But, like, I would do that regardless of whatever the person that's making the movie or TV show or comic book or whatever the fuck else. I would do it regardless of whatever their personal opinions were. Okay? So if a movie comes out where, like, they're raping a woman on there, like, I don't agree with raping women. But, like, if it's part of the movie and it makes sense, then, okay, like, I might feel uncomfortable with it. But if it's part of the movie, then I can understand why it's there. But if it's like, hey, it turns out that this dude is in, you know, like, he's part of a dungeon gang or something, right? Like, he's a gimp for somebody, mm-hmm. and whatever, like, he's into S&M, and he's in a cult where they kidnap and rape women. Like, that's a different story.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying? So it should go both ways, right? Because, like, people with very decent, normal lives make some fucked up shit. Well, fucked up people make some very cool shit as well. And ultimately, whether the person is a piece of shit or not, I think to me is somewhat irrelevant. Like, there is a time where I wouldn't support it, right? So, like, when all the shit about Mel Gibson being a piece of crap came out, like, I'm not supporting whatever he's coming out with at the moment. But at the same time, like, he's not coming out with anything because everyone thinks he's a piece of shit.
And he could be smart enough not to be saying that shit in public.
Well, that's a completely different story.
Whether he still believes it or not, he's smart enough to realize, I better not be saying stuff like that.
Yeah, you know what? That's a different story, and I don't even know if that applies anymore, because, I mean, look at our president. He's a piece of shit.
Hey, another example that kills me
is Orson Scott Card. Cause I loved
it. Oh, sure.
Loved sure. it. But then when some of the shit that came out about him, I'm just like, even if he came back and apologized for all of that stuff, is that a mindset that you could ever reverse?
No, you can't reverse. No, you're right. You're right. But the thing is, Nick, like, why are you preventing yourself enjoying that book?
Because I can read 1,000 other books.
Sure you can. But you've already read that book. You've already read Ender's Game.
Yeah, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But right. I also read it under the guise of not knowing the author.
And that's fine. But you already read it, and you enjoyed it. So what's it matter?
That doesn't matter. It's already done.
It's already done.
My point is, I'm not going to be – I wouldn't be supporting him moving forward in my head.
Well,
there's a big difference between Ben Affleck grabbing some woman's booty and Orson Scott Card. Give me a break. Like his horrible behavior can be taught out of somebody. Like that mindset, that's a hard thing to teach out.
No, dude, if you're a 40-year-old man, a 50-year-old man, a 60-year-old man or woman, and you're doing this kind of stuff, like, that's not something you teach out of them. That's something they were brought up doing, and they're just going to be a piece of shit and keep on doing it.
It's more of their stature and place in society where they think that behavior is okay.
Sure. But, I mean, I see people who are not in those positions of power who think doing that kind of thing is okay.
Yeah, there's plenty of scumbags out there.
Right.
I feel like, why should I support?
Okay, I get it. Yeah. I just feel like there should be, and I don't know what the time limit would be, but there's got to be some kind of time limit, dude. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I think that's all up to the person who is judging.
Sure. Sure. But that's the thing.
It does kill me because I do want to go back and watch like Mel Gibson stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, look.
I was just thinking about it because there was quite a few things hitting, and I'm just like, does this should this or shouldn't this, or is it okay? Like, well, guess what? At some point, like me, my consumer dollar, I can choose how I want to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? There is no person out there right now that is pushing out media that's like, oh my god, like everything Orson Scott Card's doing. Or Mel Gibson, there's 10 other projects that are very similar to the project that X person is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So why should I go and support that one person?
Yeah,
that's
you're right.
Where, like, in my head, that's where I can spend my dollar anywhere. Because, I mean, unlike 2 decades ago where somebody is putting out Final Fantasy. And guess what? There aren't a lot of ripoff games that were similar to Final Fantasy for a while. You know, so right now it seems like somebody puts out a film and then just wait, or music, just wait 8 months. And guess what? Somebody will be copying that. Whether it's better or worse, who knows?
By the way, Final Fantasy Spirits Within is my jam. If you hate it, too bad. Come at me, bros. All right.
Is that number 20 of your most watched?
No, I've only seen that. I've only seen that a handful of times. But I don't know. Dude. I think it's tough, and I think that's why there's been so much discussion about this. But the thing is, like, you know, whether you prevent this kind of behavior publicly doesn't change the ultimate fact. If this is still a type of behavior that happens privately, right? So, like, for example, all the shows that we do on the network, like, I don't have any rules for these guys, right? I want everybody to speak as openly and honestly as they possibly can.
Sure.
Now, obviously, I have no doubt that people oftentimes self-censor themselves.
Sure.
And I think, for the most part, the group of people that we have making podcasts on the network are not pieces of shit, except Ronnie. I'm just kidding. I think the group of guys that we have making podcasts have pretty solid heads on their shoulders. You know what I'm saying? So I have no doubt that, like, I don't need to place rules on these guys when they make a podcast, because they're not the type of people that are going to be doing stupid shit where I would have to put rules to prohibit them from doing stuff, right? But you see this kind of stuff in media all the time.
Yeah, but guess what? If somebody on the network, let's just keep it to our network. If somebody on our network was a shitbag or said some homophobic or racist stuff, I would be one of the first people that would happily call them out publicly, first privately, and if it kept going, then publicly. Like, and guess what? If I have to leave the network because no one's doing anything to police that person, I would happily leave. And
well,
I
sure.
Would, and I would have no problem doing that.
Well, and
that's just crap that I just don't want. I don't want to go backwards in life. Like,
sure.
I understand that society is way too sensitive right now, but there's certain topics for me that, guess what? We're at a place as a society where I don't want to go back. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back like, oh, remember that Archie Bunker talk? Oh, that was fun, wasn't it? Like, I get what Norm Lear was doing back in the day, but yeah. I don't want any of my friends or people on the network talking like that. Like, no. And you can, like, hide it behind, like, that Andrew Dice Clay. If you peel back those layers to the onion, he was, you know, he was confronting stuff. And it's like, he wasn't Lenny Bruce. Like, come on. Like,
sure.
No.
But you got to remember, there was a person like that on the network at one point.
Yes, and I understand, but I also have called out other people when they accidentally said stuff, and I realize it wasn't that person, it was just the heat of the moment.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's unacceptable. Like, yeah. Some stuff is just unacceptable.
Sure, 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 sure.
But there's no topic or, like, discussion point that I wouldn't address, nor do I want anyone else to shy away from said topic.
Right.
But, well, and it's how it's approached.
For me, that's important, and you're right. It's also the way that you go about saying the things that you say, too, right? Because, I mean, I think it's not always true, okay? Like, you know, when you say that country's a shithole country, like, there's no way to spin that. Like, you're just a fucking racist, right? But, like, I don't know. There's things that could be said that could be, when taken out of context, could very easily be taken the incorrect way. But I think there are topics where ultimately, regardless of how those things are said, they're still not the correct way to say things because they're not, I know like morality is kind of dubious for a lot of people. But I think ultimately there are rights and wrongs, right? And like hurting other people is not the right thing to do. Whether it's verbal or physical or mental or emotional, whatever. Like, to me, that's a pretty obvious, like, universal thing. Where you should never hurt somebody in any respect. But at the same time, like, I think that people are a little sensitive, right? So, ultimately, like, the sensitivity is more relative. But I think the notion of not hurting somebody definitely is universal. And I don't know if, like, beyond that you can really go anywhere, right? Because, like, that's ultimately, like, the one rule. I don't want to sound like Jesus, right? Like, that was a thing, right? Like, treat others like you want to be treated.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, what if you're a deranged person who likes to be treated like shit? Like, there are people like that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's people that societal law they don't want it to apply to them.
Sure.
They don't want to apply to conventions, and I'm not talking about that. I like, hey, live and let live. I have no, as long as you're not hurting anyone, like you can, you know, fly that freak flag whenever you want. I am not coming down on that side.
Sure.
I'm coming down on the side of like people keeping those base ignorant thoughts and not trying to grow themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have to put, you know, a stake in that ground and that's my fight, I'll fly that flag. I have no problem.
Yeah.
But somebody comes on and they're discussing, you know, hey, their transgender fight. Like, I'm all for that. Like, yeah, let's have that discussion. I would learn more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I will never say you shouldn't, you know, take up that fight. Like, that's for you. Do it.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I don't want to get into that conversation because that's going to go way into other things. I don't,
Sure.
Into topics I don't generally want to discuss in the podcast.
Sure.
But I'm not disagreeing with you in any way. I just people suck, dude. That's kind of the bottom line, right? People are just shitty.
Maybe that's
nihilist in me, but that's just kind of true.
Yeah, you can have your narrow thinking. I don't need that in my universe. You just keep it over there, or I will happily have a discussion with you about that type of.
Well, but the thing too is, I think that people that have that type of narrow mentality don't want to have a discussion with you anyway. Right, so there's no point. So the only real way around it is you just don't associate with those kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been really careful, I think especially over the last year, I would say, to only surround myself with people who I really feel are worth my time. You know, when I was growing up, that sounds really bad, but I'm about to explain it. When I was growing up, my parents always told me, especially my mom, she always told me, she said, always try to befriend people who are better than yourself. And she didn't mean that like people who have more money or who are better looking or, you know, whatever, or better singers. Like, she meant like people who have characteristics that you want to emulate. But at the same time, like, she knew that I would understand between good and bad, right? So, like, mm-hmm. obviously I wouldn't want to emulate, like, a crackhead, right? Like, hey, I'm going to befriend this crackhead so I can become a better crackhead. Like, that's not what she meant. But, like, I guess it would have been, like, part two in a lesson of how to be a better person. Because, yeah, you gotta have the skills to first understand between good and bad. And then once you can understand the difference between those two things, then you can find people who will help you become a better person as well. And that's kind of what she meant.
My mom did a similar thing, that she wanted me to always have better friends than myself.
Right.
Meaning that it doesn't matter where somebody comes from or how they look or how they approach, but are they somebody that you can learn from?
Absolutely.
And who's going to teach you, and, you know, not even like a person who's in a leadership role, but just maybe somebody on a basketball team who comes from a different station in life, and they can teach you like their worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And not just to accept. And I mean, my mom was really good with, I was raised Catholic, but she was really good with get to know like any person of any religion. And maybe that religion is for you. Maybe that belief is for you. Like, and that trickled down into so many ways of me approaching different groups and never really following, just trying to understand that group.
Mm.
And not just taking things at blanket statements, right, which has helped me even today in business. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Really listening to all sides of the conversation, not just getting locked in. Side is right. We have to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a good belief system that she, and it sounds like your mom, instilled in you.
Yep.
Yeah. Never close yourself off. Like, my mom always thought, she's always like picturing the door or the fence gate. Like, you're not fenced in. Like, there's a gate that you can walk through and go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, it's like genetics, right? So, the bigger gene pool you have, the more diverse and the better your species is at evolving further, right? And surviving like catastrophes. That was a little more serious than I wanted it to be. All right. Maybe I should find that funnier comparison, but it's the same thing with people, right? Like, you.
Yeah. I like that approach, because there's plenty of movies out there where as soon as you see an alien, that obviously that's going to be an enemy. But then you see other sci-fi, and it's like, oh, what can I learn from that alien?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it isn't just, oh my God, there's an alien. It has to be an enemy. No, like Star Trek's like, no, let's figure out, you know, their motivations and why they're here.
That's why Enemy Mine is one of the greatest alien movies of all time.
That why do you think when I saw the trailer for Bright, I even told you, like, it looks like Enemy Mine.
I might need to go watch Enemy Mine now.
Let me know if it's streaming anywhere. I will do the same.
Thanks for listening to Nick and Martin's Guide to Not Being a Shitty Person. This was
Nothing wrong with that. I enjoy hearing your perspective on it because I know you approach it at it from a different angle than I do. I think we're both on the same side, but you know, we have completely different life experiences.
Yeah. Well, and I think ultimately we have the same maybe ideology, just the way that we go about it is very different.
Yeah, I think we have a very similar moral compass and ideology.
Yeah.
Towards others in society.
Yep.
There's nothing. Hey, guess what? We do shits and giggles and tickle fights every episode. It's okay if you know. It's okay to be serious here and there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, after 3 seasons and 3,647 episodes, I mean, we're bound to get serious, I suppose.
Nothing wrong with that. Let people peel back a layer to us a little.
Absolutely. We didn't even answer the original question.
Uh-oh. Sorry
about that. No, it's fine. I like the way it went. And I don't even know if there is an answer to the original question anyway, to be honest with you. That's a tough one, dude. That's a really tough one.
I think it's all individual.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like, what are you comfortable with?
Right.
So, like, I haven't seen Baby Driver yet, because I wanted to see it, and then it turns out that Kevin Spacey's a fucking child rapist douchebag. So, like, now I don't want to see Baby Driver.
And that's a shame, because I love Baby Driver.
See? But, like, I still want to see it. I just don't want to see it right now.
Yeah, maybe just pump the brakes a little on it.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's not going anywhere. You know what I'm saying? It'll be there.
Nope.
For when I'm ready.
Yep.
For when I'm ready. All right, let's wrap this one up.
Oh,
wait, I already did. This was Nick and Martin's Guide to Not Being a Shitty Human. Nick is at Nick Wetmore. I'm at Geekvine. The show is at Nerd Legion. NerdyLegion.com. The best website. The greatest website. We have the best website. The best podcast.
Okay?
Our podcasts are the best. Everyone loves our podcast. We have the biggest podcast. Anyways. Thanks for listening. Maybe come back next time. Well, maybe we won't be so serious.